Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Wherever you are, whatever time of day it is, however you are listening to this episode of the No BS Bishop, I'm Alive to Love, Lesser Values Than Love, Devolve into BS. Wherever you are, whatever time of day it is, welcome. I'm tickled. I'm humbled. I'm encouraged that you would choose to give me a half an hour of your time, and I promise to make it worth your while, to give you my best so that you can live your best. We visit, commiserate, break down, talk, build up all the principles of love right here. If you think that that's an exhaustible subject, you're wrong. It is inexhaustible. It cannot be in this life. It cannot be ever fully developed. And that's why for the past, 2 years or more, I've been here on the No BS Bishop, giving you my very best definitions, my very best explanations, my very best stories, my very best lists, my very best of anything. I try not to sermonize, but you know, after being a pastor for 50 years and sermonizing my way through my calling, it's a hazard, I know, but I try to make it as practical, applicable as I know how. So today is going to be one of my list days. I've got a good long list of a dozen things here I want to talk to you about how we can live the principles of love in life, how to live the principle of love in life. And I want to assure you, as I do here every week, I am no professor of love. I am a pilgrim. I'm on a journey. This is a marathon run. It's not a 100-yard sprint. This is going to take all my life and all of eternity to fully plumb the depth of love. The height, the depth, the breadth, the width is what Ephesians says of the love of God. To see to it that somehow I'm encouraging you, challenging you, and coaching you forward. Come follow me. Let's follow love. Let's make love the high principle of our living. And that's today, the high principle of life, principles of how we can love in this life is where we'll go today. And to that end, I try every week to remember that this episode of the No BS Bishop, I'm Alive to Love, Lesser Values Than Love, Devolve into BS. I want to give you love's creed. This is something that I wrote some years ago for myself. I had no real intention of it being widely public, but I found that it's handy. It's helpful. It's a calling. It's a creed, like the Apostles' Creed is repeated in church, so that you can have every time we get together, just some baseline. What are we doing here? What's happening? Well, love's creed is that. So I'm going to give it to you like I give a wedding, in a wedding for a couple getting married. I give them their vows, and I'll split it up in small pieces in a moment. But first, I want to read through it to give you the lilt and the impact and the content of it. So then you can go back and repeat it as a vow or as a creed, and it can just linger in your mind, linger in your thinking, all right? So here's love's creed that I've written. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less. Now that's in total. I'll give it to you now in small portions so you can repeat it after me. Put it in your mouth. Let your ears hear your own voice. Commit yourself to it. That's the value of something like this. But it really does have specific application for today, all right? Love's Creed by Bishop Randy Dean. Here it is. I'm alive to love. Repeat after me. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. So there you have it. This creed, I think, can become something that could be posted on your bulletin board at work or at the place of business that you maintain, or on your morning mirror as you're getting ready and shaving, brushing your teeth, combing your hair, getting ready for your long day ahead of you. It's something that you could carry in your pocket on a card or tape to your dashboard and look at occasionally to remind yourself of how life is a higher purpose. There's a higher principle of living than just reacting, just giving gut reaction to everything that comes your way. What if our life could become about love? What if our priorities could become about love? What if the guiding principle, the North Star of who we are, how we behave, choices we make, the careers we follow, what if all of those things would be pulled into love? How many times in my 50 years as a pastor have I been asked, Pastor, I just don't know what to do with my life. I don't know what God's call is on my life. My eyes always light up and I sit up a little straighter and I say, oh, I have your answer. And it's found in one word, love. And I know it sounds simplistic, but truthfully it isn't. It's deeply complex. It's deeply challenging to love. I don't know anybody who's ever taken on the task of love with any degree of genuine interest, but what they have discovered, love is climbing a mountain. Love is traversing the Sahara Desert. Love is the launching pad of a satellite into space to orbit the Earth. Love does not happen by some kind of, oh, willy-nilly, kick the can down the street. Well, maybe we'll get around to it. I think maybe I can do that. No. Love is a demand on our heart. It's a demand on our thinking. And so to that end, today, I'm going to talk to you about, here's a dozen principles of how to love, how to maintain love, how to secure and sustain love as a principle in our living. I'm very acutely aware that I have not lived all of this as well as I would like. That's the truth of my 69 years of life on earth. But to that end, it challenges me to repair any damage I've done that wasn't done in the things that were done in lovelessness, not only to repair, but to restore myself to a higher pinnacle and principle of love. So I'm offering these things to you as the benefit of 69 years on the earth and 50 years as a pastor to, hey, come along with me. Let's go on this journey. Let's find out more about this. Let's do this, right? You know, hey, you know, when you make a plan for a party and you start making detailed plans for the games and the food and the invitations, well, then somewhere in there, suddenly something says, hey, let's do this. This sounds exciting. All right, so here's my 12 principles for love going forward in life. And first of all is to learn how to create an accountable group of people around you. You're not accountable in the sense that we're barking and nagging at each other, but no, just the accountability of conversation that says, wow, I didn't succeed at love today. I didn't succeed at love in that relationship or in that project. And to be able to talk to one another in some kind of honest way, a community that keeps us accountable. And that community can be one or two friends or family or just somebody you talk to online or somewhere that you discuss how love worked and sometimes how love didn't work, you know, sometimes or oftentimes. And then you can break it down and find out in yourself or listen to others and find out in them how they explain how they got into a loveless argument, how they got into a loveless collision with somebody or something. So creating some kind of an accountable community, it is so vital. So that's the first principle of living a life of love. The second principle is learning how to listen deeply. Now, I tell you, I go to this often. And I go to it often because I am guilty of, once again, I'm guilty of having missed that mark. Listening deeply, as you'll see, we'll do at the end here when I say, I challenge you to say, I love you, and look people in the eye. Listening deeply means looking people in the eye, not only when you speak, but when they are speaking. Give them eye contact. Slow yourself down. Call yourself to attention. You know, if you've ever seen a movie with the drill sergeant and the private standing there in the mess hall or in their collective place of sleeping, and you know, and the drill sergeant's up in the face of that private, you get what I'm saying, right? That eye contact that the drill sergeant absolutely demands. Well, that's an extreme, but I want you to see that picture in your mind of yourself, to give eye contact, to tune in and listen deeply to what is said. Listen to the feelings behind the words. Strive to achieve a balance between listening and speaking and reflecting and acting. We see, so often we listen in order to respond or to give our words back, but we need to listen so that we hear the words coming at us first. And if you don't get the words that are coming at you, ask a question. Be able to look that person in the eye, smile, and say, please help me, I'm not understanding this well, and I do want to understand. It's really profound. It really is. That's a principle for living a life of love. A third principle is beware of giving advice that's uninvited. Create an advice-free zone in your mind. You know, that I know it's easy to do, especially in our one-way communication world. And by that, I mean we're looking at a computer screen. We're looking at a TV screen. We're listening to a computer discussion, a podcast. We're looking at a radio as it's talking to us. And we're in a one-way communication world where it's really easy to bark advice back at an inanimate object, right? And my wife and I often joke about, oh, hey, you're talking to an inanimate object. You're talking to a thing. And the reason we do that is because the thing can't answer back. But when you live with love, love calls you to set aside giving advice and be a compassionate, empathetic person. And then when somebody comes to you and says, what would you do if you were me? Well, now you've got an invitation. Now love has a basis from which it can speak, and not a knee-jerk reaction with a pointed finger that said, well, you should. In 12-step AA groups, we say, don't should on me. Don't be shouldn't on me. That's really important. That's crosstalk in 12-step gatherings. No more crosstalk. No more advice given without an invitation. Give yourself the opportunity to hear without needing to be, you know, the smartest person in the room. Another principle for living out of love is just to practice asking questions. Good questions, not tricky questions, not a question to trap somebody, but ask questions. And not only in the moment, but going forward, to ask an honest question, not a loaded question. You know what I mean? A loaded question says, well, what did you mean by that? Well, that's loaded. That's looking for a fight. But love says, somehow or another, I need more information in this conversation. Somehow or another, I'm not getting everything that's happening here, and I want to, so that we can have a complete conversation. And that takes practice. You know, I as a preacher, my vocation has called me to speak. And it's really, really challenging to slow that down, stop it in many cases, instead of preaching, asking questions. And I find that Jesus, when you read the stories in the Gospels, Jesus was a profound question asker. He was able to set the tone for his parables by asking questions. Who was your neighbor? Well, somebody would ask him, and then he would say, well, then he'd tell a story, and he'd say, who do you say is the neighbor in this story? It's powerful. It's really powerful. And to that end, the sixth point of reference here in practicing a life of love is to just practice being quiet. If I can say it the way I want to, it's just practice shutting up. I've said many, many, many times over the years, I've led, I don't even know, scores, maybe hundreds of board meetings and school board and church board and nonprofit boards. So many meetings that I've been the chair, And one of the things that is so important for people to do is to, as a leader, is to practice silence. Leaders often have this mistaken notion that if I'm leading, it means I'm talking. And that's wearisome. Really, it is. Listening is more leading than talking is leading. Of course, as a leader, you have to speak into situations. You have to be brave and give a collective answer to some things that have to be answered. But if you're talking more than you're listening, you're not leading. Powerful leaders listen more than they talk. And to that end, in any conversation piece, in any group meeting, in any gathering of folks, whether it's a card game or a Bible study, I don't care what it is, listening is profound, and practicing silence. You know, I'm the worst at this because I think I've got all the answers. So you have to bear with me, and I'm sorry for that. But I'm unlearning that I'm going to spend all my life, the rest of my life, recognizing I don't have all the answers. The older I get, the less I know, and yet the more I've lived, the more I recognize that my voice internally isn't always required externally. Practice silence in order to love. A seventh level of walking through a principles of love is to put off any judgments about what you're hearing or seeing or what's going on around you. Just don't jump to a judgment. Recognize that everybody around has their own story. Recognize everybody around you has had their own pains, and judgment is the last thing they need. Another way to come at this is speak your truth and invite others to speak the truth they know. Oh my goodness, this is part of what gets squirreled up in some Christian circles. We think we've got the only truth, and nobody else has the truth, and nobody else has a right to speak truth except us, and that's squirrely. We have to learn how to be people of compassionate, empathetic, considerate listening to the truths of others. And that doesn't mean you agree with everything, doesn't mean you validate everybody's truth. It means that you're willing to understand. That's what love does. Love seeks to understand, not to be understood. St. Francis of Assisi, in his prayer, it's a, may I seek to understand more than to be understood. So speaking our truth means we're inviting others to speak theirs. And be sure that in your truth that you've unpacked your own assumptions, right? So we've all assumed some things, all of us, me included. We've assumed some things that those assumptions have been faulty. Those assumptions have been broadly built in a way that didn't have all the right confirmations. To have a careful review of your assumptions is necessary in a life of love, to know that I've made some assumptions that are just flatly wrong. You know, there's nothing wrong with coming up to that conclusion and saying, you know, I've made some assumptions and they're just flatly mistaken or shallow based. And I need to spend more time as a loving person, giving somebody else the opportunity to talk so that I can listen. And, you know, and here's my list. Let's see. I'm on number 10 here. Yes, I am. Number 10. So on the 10th principle of love, it's, you know, things are going to get hard. Life doesn't just run on easy street. In fact, easy street doesn't exist. I think, you know, pain in the butt street certainly exists, but not easy street. So when life gets difficult, and it will, listen, nobody is immune to difficulties. And to understand that love is at its most challenged moments, when we're exhausted, when we're tired, when we're challenged with the difficulties of life, it's important to rest. It's important to pull back from the challenge. It's important to give yourself space to breathe and let it go. Let it go. Be a person of a contemplation and meditation, a contemplative life. I like the way that word sounds, contemplative. It invites me to pull myself away from the difficulties and rest. That when life gets challenging, know that love needs some rest. and you need some, I need some rest. And to that end, number 11 is learn how to slow it down. You know, when we breathe here on the No BS Bishop, I always say the practice of breathing is the practice of slowing down. So in a moment, I'll tell you, I went on the count of three, I want you to breathe, and that means I want you to slow down and concentrate on how you're breathing. Because we get adrenalized, we get prioritized, we get stimulated and motivated, and we just don't know how to slow down enough to give our body and our mind a place to just really focus. And I'm convinced, I am absolutely 1,000% convinced that when we slow down, things will work out in a way that we hadn't contemplated before. Trust in the Lord with all your heart is to rest. Just give your heart space to breathe and rest. For this last principle of love, I have to kind of turn abruptly to a practical point of reference here. And this is something that I've watched over the years as a pastor. Confidentiality. When you hear something, assume that you are being trusted as a divine partner, especially something vitally important to somebody. I mean, it can be as vitally important as the confession of some mistake or sin or even a crime. Just treat that as a divine partner. And yeah, there are some legitimate places where, as a pastor, I'm an obligated reporter. I have a legal obligation to report things that have to be told to the authorities. But 99% of life is not about that. 99% of life is somebody sharing their heart and hoping you won't go spread it anywhere else. Love holds confidentiality as a divine respect. And that divine respect says, you know, when somebody shared something with me, whether large or small, maybe they just needed to say it to another human being. That's part of the 12 steps of AA, is I've admitted to God, myself, and to another human being the exact nature of my wrong. And so maybe this person isn't in that moment, and they're not even fully aware that they're in that moment. And my level of confidentiality will win the day for love. When somebody has said something to me that is that vital, that almost frightening, my confidentiality shows love like almost nothing else does, because that's how God responds, right? You know, when you tell God your sins, God doesn't get a pen in his mighty hand and start writing your sin in the clouds. No, that's not how it works. And yeah, your sin, if hidden and maintained as some kind of diabolical thing, your sin will come back to bite you. But if you've committed your heart and your mind to the love of God, God is not about to expose you. That is not God's character, because God is love. Love is God. He who dwells in love dwells in God, and he who dwells in God will dwell in love. And that beautiful, I almost said vicious, that divinely beautiful circle goes around and around. Love and God, God and love. And all of that holds a beautiful fortress around our internal secrets, and it holds those secrets as treasures rather than trinkets to be exposed. All right, I'm done with today's No BS Bishop, I'm Alive to Love. And as I said a few moments ago, I want you to practice breathing with me. So on the count of three, slow down and breathe deeply. One, two, three. Inhale and hold that air deep in your lungs, and exhale. Every time you feel the weight of stress and anxiety, breathe. Slow down and breathe well. And I mentioned earlier as well, a whole matter of listening intently, listening beautifully, and that means eye contact. Imagine this person has got to have the connection of your eyes, and say to somebody, yeah, it's weird, it's awkward, but give it a try. Say to somebody deeply and intently, I love you. Get their eye contact. Be secure about it. Be trusted with it. But understand, too, that we're not used to this thing. We're not used to this kind of slowed-down intentionality. We're more used to, you know, barking it out, I love you, and then running away. Saying I love you are the three most charmed and magical words in the human language, and we need to be spending more and more and more of our lives and our energies saying I love you to people everywhere, any way we get a chance, and do it so that life can be more improved and beautiful, because I'm here to tell you, ugly has been done to death. It's time for the people of beauty, the people of love, to do something beautiful so that this world grows into a more majestic and mighty and magnificent experience together. So thank you for being here again today for this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I'm alive to love, and I believe lesser values than love devolve into bait and switch, BS. So let's live a life that's authentic, direct, and beautiful. Thanks for coming here again today, and understand this. I got three words for you. I love you.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.